Emily Goldenfield's Olivia Pace, and So Hard You're Johnny. I'm Maranovich. Welcome to K-Boone, the Old Mole Variety Hour this morning. It's delightful to have the three of you here for this roundtable discussion on the Universal Preschool Now campaign, which is on the ballot as Measure 26214. That's 26-214. So let's start by each of you just briefly introducing yourselves and saying a little bit about how you became involved in the Universal Preschool campaign. Emily, do you want to start?
Sure. So my name is Emily Goldenfields, and I am a member of Portland chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. And I started working on this campaign really from the beginning. It kind of stemmed out of our Tax the Rich work, which we were doing around local budget issues. And we just kept moving and building a campaign forward that not only focused on the revenue of inequality in the city and eventually the county, but how we can redistribute all the incredible wealth being generated in our county into the communities that we live in. So it's been this really exciting campaign.
So Olivia, do you want to say a little about how you became involved in that campaign and your interests?
Yeah. So my name is Olivia. I use she, her pronouns. I'm an organizer who has mostly been involved in student organizing for the last few years. My degree is in child and family studies. My work is in childcare, and I was a part of the successful organizing of the Growing Seeds Workers Union. We won our union vote at Growing Seeds, which is a series of child development centers in Portland that take care of children ages 6 weeks through to five, right before they go to kindergarten.
So this campaign is part of a broader vision of a caring society and care work. And hopefully we'll hear more in this roundtable about this from a child care worker's perspective. Seher, would you introduce yourself and say a little bit about how you came into the campaign?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm Seher. I use she or they pronouns. And I am one of the chief petitioners of the initial Universal Preschool Now coalition that was able to get 32,000 signatures in just over a month this summer to make preschool a reality for folks in our county. I'm also the vice chair of a school board, the David Douglas School Board here in Portland. And as part of that work, I'm very passionate about education, early childhood learning. As a recent immigrant and citizen, I'm also very passionate about what is happening with our children that are from immigrant and refugee backgrounds, as well as youth of color.
Emily, will you describe the ballot measure and what it specifically includes as the expression of this campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. So this ballot measure is, we've been talking about, a culmination of a huge effort campaign that kind of emanated out of DSA, but now is a really broad coalition of labor unions, of community organizations, of parents, of preschool workers. And basically what this ballot measure does, it taxes the top incomes in Multnomah County, and basically the top 8% of income tax, and redistributes those funds to fund free universal preschool for every 3 and 4 year old in the whole county. And it encourages play-based education. It's culturally responsive. Anyone in the county who wants to send their child to preschool can choose what kind of preschool facility they want to send them in, culturally competent preschools in multiple languages, or if they want to go to community centers, or if they want to go to a neighbor who has a home preschool center. So it's very diverse, and really what it does is a lot of the redistribution happens from redistributing a lot of the wealth from the West County in Portland to the East County, which there are just incredible economic and cultural disparities between those two counties.
And the term universal, which always arouses a certain suspicion, what is meant by universal? And it's probably not. And certainly access to preschool now is not universal. Why is that in the title of the campaign? And what does that mean? Sahar, can you respond to that? What's meant by a universal preschool?
Absolutely. So when we initially started with this work with the Universal Preschool Now Coalition, what we meant is that we want every single 3- and 4-year-old in Multnomah County, regardless of background, regardless of income, zip code, to be able to attend preschool tuition free.
And it's much like public schooling that it should be assumed, or how we'd like to think about healthcare, that this is not something that people should have to fight for or justify, but
absolutely,
is a basic right. Olivia, can you address, you work and have a background working in childcare. What does this mean for childcare workers who are often forgotten in discussions about access to care and how parents or caregivers are going to afford care for their children? But there's also the conditions under which so many childcare workers live and work.
Yeah, and discussions around education, around the importance of education, and then how we treat our children and look out for children and families in our communities. The teacher is just kind of assumed to be there. We saw this at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, preschool teachers being treated as just like a given, that you should just be able to lay your life on the line and accept the low pay that is chronically given to childcare workers for the sake of kind of this idea of helping the children that is very nebulous, and that when it's discussed in that way doesn't actually serve to like create a better society where people have their basic needs met, because workers have to be factored into that as well. And so the biggest benefit that people will see the most quickly, that will be the most apparent for childcare workers through Preschool for All, is that preschool teachers will get pay parity with kindergarten teachers in the county, and that assistant teachers or assistant staff in preschools will receive an $18 an hour wage, which is still, to me, less than we should be getting. I think all teachers, all people across the board could stand to be paid more, especially those who are providing education, which we acknowledge as a basic need, and yet we chronically underpay teachers. But that is still a significant improvement from where we're at now. Preschool teachers, day to day, because of health issues, I haven't been teaching since COVID started, but up until COVID started, day to day, I was keeping track of the physical health and the emotional health of 19 children, developing curriculum, checking 19 children into the bathroom, keeping track of them, putting people to sleep, feeding them, doing all of the work of an educator and of somebody doing that kind of physical care at the same time, and frankly, making $17 an hour. And I was on the higher end of pay at the facility that I was working at. And we're expected to kind of carry this huge social, emotional, academic, physical burden of taking care of children who deserve all of the care we can provide them, and yet are barely paid and often not paid enough to have those same supports in our own lives.
The points Olivia is making are exactly the right points, that this is labor, that care work is labor, that once we start actually treating it as work that deserves a fair wage, a living wage, that it's valuable, and we need to start treating it that way through what we actually, how we pay for it, is a really important step for women who perform 94% of childcare work in this country. So this is a feminist issue of actually fighting for a lot of the women, and disproportionately women of color also are in this industry, being severely underpaid, doing this incredibly, what we say, we give lip service to it being very valuable work, yet we don't actually put our money where our mouth is. And I think that this kind of campaign of carving out a right of preschool and putting that in labor terms of this is real labor that needs to be paid like it, then what comes next. And that's really how we want to think about it. I mean, daycare, paying for daycare, that's not just something that women do because they care so much. It's hard physical labor that needs to be paid.
Sahara and Olivia, do you want to conclude with kind of what you, how you see this as a broader part of a broader political vision that goes beyond this campaign, a vision of a good society?
You know, I think this measure and the work that over 100 supporting organizations, groups, and individuals that have been part of this is a testament to how our systems don't work in silos. Our systems intersect. And so when we are looking at early childhood learning and our children and their education, there's also those that are providing that. So it's also intersecting with labor. As both Olivia and Emily mentioned, a lot of times those in childcare are women and femmes and tend to be women and femmes of color. And we see how disproportionately underpaid they are. And so this is a racial equity issue. This is a gender justice and reproductive justice issue so that our families are able to raise their family in ways that there are safety measures and services in place and that all of our children have the same kind of opportunities in order to then flourish and thrive.
Olivia, would you want to say anything in closing about this as part of racial justice as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you ask about how this kind of goes to creating a broader society, throughout the last few months, people in the streets since the murder of George Floyd have been calling for defunding the police. And we say that because there is just an exorbitant amount of money in this country that is being put into militaristic aims, into the police who protect property and the state rather than people and disproportionately harm people of color. And billionaires and the super rich have profited enormously while the rest of us suffer during this crisis. And so when we say defund the police as a part of solving that issue, it's not just a negative strategy, but it's saying, let's take money out of these places where they're being put for these militaristic and violent aims and put it into places where we can actually answer the question of what creates safety and welfare and joy in our society. And one of those things is absolutely education and providing safe, joyful educational spaces for our children and a workforce that has their basic needs met and are treated as being as fundamental as they are.
So this is a kind of historical moment to see a ballot measure like this before us this fall. I'm having worked in this area myself over the decades, and it's very gratifying to see. In closing, where can people learn more about the campaign? People have their ballots or getting them soon and their voters pamphlet. Where can people learn more about the campaign itself in closing?
I can share some ways to get involved. First and foremost, like you said, you all should have your ballots or getting them soon. Please make sure to vote Measure 26214. And like I said, make sure those even without kiddos in their lives to vote as well. You can find upnow2020.org, preschoolforall.org. You can find us on Twitter. We have lawn signs and distribution times that you can check out on Twitter or Facebook. Loads of ways to get involved and just make sure to vote.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program this morning and for your inspiring, important work through this campaign. This is Jan Hawken, and I've been talking with Emily Goldenfields, Olivia Pace, and Seher Yerjani Maranovich about the Universal Preschool Now campaign, which is on the fall ballot for Multnomah County. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Up in the morning and out to school, the teacher is teaching the golden rule, American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass, working your fingers right down to the bone, and the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell, the cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat.
mention it if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the hall and into the street. Up to the corner and round the bend. Right to the juke joint you go in. Drop the coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe.